Welcome back, folks. There are some important findings from a recent cancer trends study that was conducted for the years 2015 to 2022. It was also conducted by the Louisiana Tumor Registry. And here to talk to us about it is Brad Wellens, Regional Manager, Tobacco Control and Prevention and the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living. Brad, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. Actually, welcome back. I was on the Tommy Tucker Show earlier in April talking about the 10 years of Newell and smoke-free. So I'm very happy to be back and talk about this, which is talk about outcomes, you know, how smoke-free and those initiatives have proven to work.
So tell us about the outcomes that were revealed by this cancer trends study.
That's a good question. And what it was, like you said, you talked about it well. It was from 2015 to 2022, looking at two parishes, Orleans and Ouachita Parish up in North Louisiana, that that implemented smoke-free policies for that period of time. And so what they found was for those two parishes that had that long period of smoke-free policies in place, that the cancer-related, just what we call tobacco-related cancers, were 2.34% lower than the rest of Louisiana. In particular, lung cancer was over 4.5% lower than the rest of the state. And so what that shows us is by implementing these smoke-free policies, these parishes are healthier, particularly when it relates to how tobacco influences cancer and how it causes cancer.
So when we think about that, are we able to extract from the data, or does the data reveal the difference between firsthand smoke as opposed to secondhand smoke and the cancer incidence levels there, or incident rates
Yeah, that's a really good question, Norman. I don't think we can pull those things apart, but what we can say is because smoking has declined in the areas where we've implemented smoke-free policies, that with smoking decline, the cancer has declined. Also, as you point out, the incidence of their exposure to secondhand smoke here in New Orleans has gone from 85 to 90% in the bars and places they had secondhand smoke to virtually zero. And so we know that those two are combined. And, you know, we can't necessarily pull them apart, but the secondhand smoke, going smoke-free, influences the other. So if we do those policies, save lives both for secondhand smoke and for direct smoking.
Was there any thing to be gleaned from this study relative to vaping?
Yeah, that's a good question, Norman, and no. And I think the thing is other than the fact that vaping is a part of the secondhand smoke or a part of smoking, the studies really focus on the period before vaping really became big. And vaping didn't really rise into the national consequence until about 2016, 2017. So there might have been part of it, but again, we haven't done the scientific. We know that vaping causes a lot of illnesses, particularly in the short term, the exposure to chemicals and the exposure to things, they cause things like what we call popcorn lung, which is called EVALI in the scientific terminology. But there haven't been enough long-term studies as there have been on cigarettes to demonstrate that direct link to tobacco-related cancers and particularly to lung cancer.
What are the most recent studies revealing about vaping? I mean, there's been some studies that have been, you know, that have been in process for several years now. I've looked at some of them. I don't know of a single one that has a positive outcome.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And the thing is with vaping, what we do know and what those studies have revealed is that while what you're inhaling into your lungs is different, a little bit different from tobacco, you're still inhaling things like chemicals, glycols, and other carcinogenic chemicals. So we know that those chemicals cause the exposure. It's a matter of linking those, you know, to the actual vaping, and that's the problem. Is you know, in this work, Newell, that we're very excited about this. And these studies, you know, this was implemented back in 2015, these smoke-free laws. So we're only now learning about that these are really helping. And it's going to be the same thing with vaping. We're going to see as these more long-term studies come out, we're going to see these long-term effects. And we are almost positive that it's going to lead to some sort of cancer-related illnesses, because we've seen them in the way that those chemicals that are included in the vape have. We just can't directly tie it to vaping.
So the results of this study, it's, I guess, we're able to glean that if the smoke-free ordinances are having an impact, what are you hearing from communities across the state? Because only about, 30% of Louisiana's population is currently protected by these indoor smoke-free laws. What are we hearing from jurisdictions that haven't imposed this? Is there a move towards doing this, and are they evaluating this study? What are you hearing from these group folks?
Yeah, that's a good question, Norman. And I think that what we're hearing is, A, one of surprise, that, you know, when we go in, a lot of people say, oh, my community isn't smoke-free. I thought it was. And we go, no, it's not. You still need to, there are still loopholes that need to be closed, and you're still exposed to secondhand smoke. A good percentage of your population is. And the second thing we're hearing is that a lot of people are concerned about, obviously, protecting their communities as a whole. And so we know that, you know, like, smoking is a part of it. And how do you protect, you know, your communities from increased risk of cancer, from increased lung cancer, things like that? You have to, it's all part of it. It's part of nutrition, exercise, diet, reducing exposure. And one of those things is not smoking. And that's one of the easiest things. And the last thing we're hearing, Newell, is that people are very concerned about vaping. And they should be. And the reason is because it's an unknown. And we don't know what the companies and most of the vaping products that are on the market now are illegal, according to the FDA. The problem is it's a matter of enforcement, because they're not enforcing it. So we have to try to enforce it at the state level, which is something that we're trying to do. But it's more about awareness than people can just voluntarily, you know, not smoke and not vape. And as long as they're aware of the consequences.
So, you know, we've heard a lot about secondhand smoke and all of this other, you know, and exposure levels and alike. We don't always talk about the significant economic impact. So let's talk about that. You know, obviously, what's at the forefront of a lot of people's mind as a result of the passage of the Big Beautiful Bill is some modifications relative to Medicaid eligibility, costs going up. We just heard the other day that a number of the medical insurers were caught a little bit off guard with their pricing relative to Medicare plans because of the cost of medical treatment going up significantly. Medical inflation is always pretty strong. Let's talk about the economic impact here, because it seems I remember big numbers being associated with this. And it seems that there's some huge upside opportunities.
Yeah, there is. And that's a great point, Norman. There is a lot of opportunity there because, as you said, you know, the economic impact of tobacco and the tobacco-related diseases and the health care that is needed to fight these diseases, it's much easier to do it on the prevention side than it is on the other side, because these costs are add up for Louisiana alone about $2 billion, and Medicaid it's about.
So wait. Say that again. So in Louisiana, just tobacco related health care costs at $2 billion annually.
Yep. It is, because if you think about these tobacco related cancers. And it's not just cancer. It's things like COPD. It's things like, you know, heart disease. It's other things, the peripheral artery disease, you know, things like that are caused by smoking. And for Medicaid, it's about $863 million. So if we have Medicaid cuts, that's going to be cut. And that's one of those direct effects. We're not going to be able to, people that are on Medicaid are not going to be able to receive that treatment. I mean, per taxpayer, it's about a little bit over $1,400 a household annually in Louisiana. And
wait, Say that again. I lost you a second. Sorry. Say that again.
It's about it's a little bit over $1,400 per taxpayer household in Louisiana. And that's a lot. And
that's a huge number. We're a poor state.
That's a huge number. That's exactly right. Even if you don't smoke, if you haven't had this, and think about disproportionate on certain taxpayers, but all of us are paying for this. And one of the things that we know that if we do smoke-free laws, if we have cessation interventions, if we don't smoke, then it's the prevention side. One of the things about vaping and some of these new tobacco products is that they're more nicotine in them, they're more addictive. And so one of the things that we find is people need more what we call nicotine treatment, it's medicated, it's prescribed treatment. And that's the problem, is if we cut the interest, like you said, Medicaid being cut, if this is being cut, one of the things that's been cut is the prevention treatment. So there's an opportunity here, but it has to be on the prevention side, because if we wait until people have the symptom, then it's way more expensive. So and as we're a healthy community, the healthier we are as a community, the more we attract residents who want to be there, the more benefit it creates, a strong economy. We want to talk about some of the economic impact.
You know, we talk a lot about the economic impact of illicit drug use all the time. I'm curious, do you know whether or not this $2 billion annual number is larger than what it is relative to illicit drug use in Louisiana?
I don't.
Maybe nationwide? I mean, you would admit we talk more about the economic impact of illicit drug use than we do of smoking. My gut tells me that this number is probably larger than what it cost us in this state for illicit drug use.
That's a good point. And it probably is. I don't have that specific number, but that's a very logical point to make there.
I mean, it furthers the argument of what the impact is here and the byproduct of the tobacco addiction.
That's the thing. We're just seeing that. Cigarettes have a certain amount of tobacco in it. And we base how we measure nicotine based on essentially one pack of cigarettes or one cigarette. And the new vaping product, the new smokeless tobacco products and things like that have in excess of multiple packs of cigarettes. There are some vaping products out there that have as many as the effect of six packs of cigarettes in one box of the little pods that you use for vapes. And so that is incredibly scary in terms of trying to help people quit. And the amount of vape that you're pulling into your lungs.
Do we know whether or not the addictive nature or impact of vaping is less than or greater than just normal cigarettes? Do we have any idea?
Those studies have just started to come out. We don't have any Louisiana-specific data. One of the things we do know is that it's much harder for people to quit now than it was when people quit cigarettes. I mean, my father was a lifetime smoker, three packs a day. It took him multiple attempts to quit. And I can only imagine what it would be now if you had a teenager or someone in your family that vapes and they are vaping these much more addictive, much higher nicotine levels than it was when you were smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Interesting conversation. It'll be interesting to see what other jurisdictions do, because on the parish by parish level, there's really not many parishes that have gone smoke-free, right?
Right.
In Louisiana?
It's 38 of our parishes, and it's like I said, it's 30% of the population that only 30% have gone smoke-free. And obviously, that needs to change, because it's not just, I mean, there's an impending storm in a long-term sense from vaping. I mean, we know that cigarette smoking is coming down, But it is basically held steady, Norman. I mean, we saw it decrease and it popped up after the pandemic, and it's basically holding steady. And one of the problems is that people are vaping and they're going to cigarettes. Some people they smoke multiple things, and so we know that smoke-free laws is not only they're preventing the secondhand exposure, but they also are really helping people. Oh, I need to quit. This is not a place where I smoke. And basically addressing that. And we're here to help people do that.
Exactly. Brad Wellens, Regional Manager, Tobacco Control and Prevention and the Louisiana Campaign for Tobacco-Free Living. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate you sharing the Cancer Trends Study by the Louisiana Tumor Registry. We appreciate same. Have a great week.
Thank you, Norman. Appreciate it.
We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.